Okay. Yeah, let's try to add a little time onto Thursday because we want to at least get through some bigger topics. So maybe Thursday 10, 15, can we do 10:15? Yeah, okay. And then we'll see what else we can add on. Okay. I would like to get to some of the big conclusions of some of the things we've been doing. Okay. So just a couple of quick points. Yeah, so regarding Melech, again, just very, very quickly, one other point. I would have said that for the Rambam, if, according to my suggestion, that maybe there would be enough Gemina. Just it's not enough Gemina that works for the Rambam. But just to highlight what I mean, and that is the question of Bitui, whether it would be Chayiv Mishum Shuas Bitui or not. In other words, the Rambam himself, as we know, in Perek Tes Halacha Yudalev, right, seems to take the view, and we talked about this extensively in our discussion of Chafei Mideis, that whenever there's no befoal chiyuv of shuas eidos, right, then there will be a chiyuv shuas bitui. That's what he says in Perek Tes Halacha Yudalev. As opposed to, as we know, Rashi and the Ramban, Mugi Yosef, a whole bunch of other Rishonim, or let's leave the Mugi Yosef out of it, but definitely a whole bunch of other Rishonim who are the opinion that, at least according to Rabbah, that you can have situations of Shuas Eidos where you're not Chayv Befoal, but it's still a shame Shuas Eidos, and therefore it's Mufka Mishuas Bitui. So, and that's how the Or Sameach, as we noted, suggested to explain Rav Papa's Shita in Masachik Bakuvia. So I'm just at least raising the question, at least. If it's true that according to the Rambam, that Lemaisa, there is no Korban Shvuas Eidos for a Melech, but just because Lemaisa, he can't have the, you know, he's not Mufka Meidos, he's, you know, Mufka Mechiyu Pagoda Seidos, and as a result, maybe there's not Kabbalah Seidos, but he's not a Psul. He would be a candidate, is what I'm trying to say, for this kind of in-between position of having a chalos shvuas eidos without a befoal chiyum shvuas eidos, and that might also have been like a way to explain the discrepancy between perek yud hilchos shvuos and perek yud hilchos shkagos. That perek yud hilchos shvuos is talking about in hilchos shvuos the question whether you're chayiv or not, and hilchos shkagos, either way I'm suggesting that, is whether or not, you know, in principle, he's in the Parsha of Shvuas Eidos, even if Lemaisa, you can't really implement it. I was suggesting more in terms of Hilchos Karbonos. I am still suggesting, primarily in terms of, you know, the Horios or Hilchos Shkagos side of it, Isaac's comment notwithstanding about Mechayvin and Mevi'in, which I still want, I didn't get a chance, but I do want to look at the Shonos in general about that, which I think may be different than we think. But in the end of the day, that also may be an issue and a nafkamina. Just it's hard to say that for the Rambam, particularly, as I say, because of Perek Tes Halacha Yudalev. Unless you think that Perek Tes Halacha Yudalev only refers, you know, to, you know, typical situations where, you know, where there's no befoal shvuas eidos, you know, for reasons that are a little bit more fundamental. But anyway, that's just a way of highlighting what I meant. And having said that, so just let's just make one other ha'ara, and that is that unquestionably the Rambam's presentation of eidos of a melech, Malchei Beis David in particular, is very, very subtle. And definitely you get impressions in different places. You get different impressions in different places. So again, in, you know, Hilchos Shkagos, you know, it sounds like he's in the Parsha of Shuas Eidos. In Perek Yud Hilchos Shvuos, it sounds like, as the Michas Kinuch notes, you know, he's gone further than anyone else to say that not only is he not Mechuyav, but Ein Eiduso Eidos. And clearly that is also about Malkei Beis David, not just Malkei Yisrael. in Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Eidos, Halacha Tes, you know, you could have gotten the impression, well, there actually it's quite interesting because he just omits Malchei Beis David, you know, completely. That is, he could have contrasted Malchei Beis David with he could have contrasted Malchei Yisrael with Malchei Beis David instead of contrasting Malchei Yisrael with Kohen Gadol. Where is that? What did I just say? Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Tes of Hilchos Eidos. Second. Right? Malchei Yisrael lo mi'idin velo mi'idin aleihem. V'pnei shem ilmim bali zroa. V'inim nechnoim tachas ol hadayanim. Aval Kohen Gadol mi'idin alav umeidhu l'melech v'bezin ha'gadol k'moshu bi'arnu. So of course, what's missing in this halacha and left to our imagination, but it's just funny that it's written that way, is like, you know, you have the absolute Malchei Yisrael, lo mi'idin v'lo mi'idin aleihem, and then you have the other absolute, and that is that a Kohen Gadol made umi'idin aleihem, right, in the case of, you know, melech b'dezna gadol, and what you don't have is the middle case, and that is, you know, what is the status of Malchei Beis David. So certainly we know that mi'idin aleihem, that might be a reason that it's, you know, not included with Malchei Yisrael, but again, the Rambam does seem to say in Perek Yud that ein me'idin, and that's the diuk also in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Gimel Halacha Zayin, if you have the girsa that we have, and that the Kesef Mishnah and others noted, even though the Kesef Mishnah is Soser himself in different places, as we know, and that is that according to the girsa that we have in Hilchos Melachim, so the contrast. Right, what's that? Gimel Zion? Second. Yeah. Kvar b'yarnu shemalcha beis David, donino so umi'idin aleihem, aval malcha Yisrael, Gozru chachamim shalei yodem v'lo danin oso, v'lo meid v'lo me'idin alav. Right, v'mdei shaliban gospahem v'yavim v'nadabar takala, and so on. Right. So, danin oson, u'me'idin aleihem, but it sounds like ein me'idin. So, I'm just trying to point out that in Hilchos Melachim, the Rambam doesn't say ein me'idin explicitly. Right? It's, you know, you have to be medayek. In Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Eidos Halacha Tes, right, he doesn't tell you anything about Malchei Beis David, he just has the two other extremes of Malchei Yisrael versus Kohen Gadol. You have then the Perek Yud, Hilchos Shavuos Halacha Aleph, and then Perek Yud, Hilchos Shkagos Halacha Zayin, that's already four. And then you have also the omission, even though he's dealing with Talmud Chacham and Kohen Gadol, right, in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Eidos, and again, Perek Yud Hilchos Shavuos, you know, doesn't mention Kohen Gadol or Talmud Chacham, and so on. So, if you ask the question, like, what is the Rambam's view about, you know, Malchei Beis David and whether they're made or not, right, I mean, he couldn't have written it in a more, you know, camouflaged way. So I think that the distinct impression that we get from all of this is that, and one more Rambam just to add, and that is that it's not on the list of Psulim in Perek Tes of Hilchos Eidos either. So that's a sixth Rambam, right? We have all the Psulim, and we do not have Melech. So I think the, you know, the walk away from all that, and Malchei Beis David, I'm sorry, Malchei Yisrael are also not on that list, but they are, that's not a Psul Daraisa, that's only a Psul Darabanan that he mentions. So what I'm saying is, if you take these six Rambams together, the clear impression that you get is that the Rambam is dealing with this question in a very gingerly fashion. And the impression that I get is that a Melech is not Pasul Laedus, right? He is in the Parsha of Eidos, just that because of Kvodo, Lamaisa, we never allow him. We never allow Kabbalah Seifus. So it's Ein Me'idin. It's not Pasul Ayin, but it's Ein Me'idin. But it's not Ein Me'idin in the way that Malki Yisrael are not Ein Me'idin, because that's a Derabbanan Psul. So I think this is the Rambam's Shita, and it explains, you know, why he not only presents things the way he does, but it works in well, again, with this explanation of not only that Perek Yud of Hushkogos is talking about from a Korban point of view, and Perek Yud Hushkogos is talking about a Korban Shvuos Eidus point of view, but that Perek Yud Hushkogos, you know, kind of acknowledges that Melech is not Mufka from the Parsha of Shvuos Eidus. That you could have said, oh, he's Mufka in the Parsha of Shvuos Eidus, right? But it's not because of any issue of being a Hedyo, of distinction between Melech and Hedyo. You know, it's for a totally different reason. And what the Rambam is saying is something more subtle than that. Maybe because, again, according to this view, Rabbi Akiva would be saying, well, if he is Mufka from the Parsha of Shvuos Eidus, no matter why he's Mufka, it's still a relevant comment to make in Horios, right? Not just because it's true, but because at the end of the day that affects, you know, the full complement of his Kiyuv Karban and so on. And what the Rambam is saying is, I don't even think that that is true, because not Mufka for the Parsha of Shvuos Eidus, just Lemaisa, there'll never be a Shvuos Eidus, because he's not Mufka for the Parsha of Eidus either, from that point of view. Yeah?
The Rambam, as Mishnah points out, thinks a similar thing by Kohen Gadol, Eretz Ned, of course, Klei Mikdash.
Klei Mikdash, correct.
Right. So we see that the Rambam, in general, would talk about someone's kavod, the DNA kavod affecting the Eidus. So why is he willing to talk about it by Kohen Gadol and not by Melech?
Well, because I think in Melech it is more than that, basically. Now, that's what I've tried to say. That's why it's not in Perek Aleph either. Because in Melech there are no exceptions, so in Melech it created, again, in Kohen Gadol there's an exception. There's an exception of Melech, and maybe depending on the Machlokas, Lechem Mishna, Kesem Mishna, Mishna Melech, and so on, there may be an exception in the Fashos or Isurin. Right? So then it's really just a technical issue that you have to weigh each time. I think the Chiddush of the Rambam in Perek Yud, that Ein Eduso Eidus, is a result of the fact that there's no situation, right, in which you ever set that aside. So it's like what I was suggesting as a possibility for the Isha case, meaning if you are Mufka Legamri from Chiyuv HaGadas Eidus in all circumstances, you can't have it, you know, in between. Then Ein Eduso Eidus. So that qualitatively is just different than Kohen Gadol. Yeah, exactly. So not only is he in the Parsha, but his status always is limited to being Ein Chiyuv Haggadah. It's never, since Ein Chiyuv Haggadah, no Kabbalah Seidus. Never mind, no Psul. I'm saying Melech is not Psul either, but they took away his Kabbalah Seidus because of this bigger idea. Either because, you know, to protect, it's a bigger Kabbalah, so it needs more protection. I don't think so, frankly. I think the bigger idea is what I was saying before, and that is, you can't have somebody who never has a Chiyuv Haggadah, right, who has Kabbalah Seidus. You just can't, you know, in principle. So that's what I'm suggesting. So the Rambam is very, very subtle here, and these are the suggestions I'm making. You quite understand that, you know, this generated, it seems like we took a long time on this, but if you were to, you know, just, you know, make a list or a chart of, you know, everything that's been said about these six Rambams, or especially about three of them, you'll see there's a lot of ink that's been spilled, and there are different views. And the Kesef Mishnah himself contradicts himself, you know, between Hilchos Shkagos and Hilchos Melachim. Kesef Mishnah contradicts himself about Nefashos. So when you have that kind of phenomenon, it's because you're dealing with difficult presentations of the Rambam, which at minimum we certainly are. And there are other views, of course. But this is what I wanted to present. That's point number one about Melech. The last point about Melech for now is the comment of the Netziv, which I was going to bring up, and then somebody also mentioned to me that. Who mentioned it to me the other day? Somebody also asked me about the Netziv, right? Avi? Who did?
Aaron Rubin.
Oh, okay. So, oh, yeah, Aaron. Correct. He's not here, right? Yeah, correct. Aaron came to me, and they also mentioned. And that is that the Netziv in Horios, I don't know if I told you to look up or not, but it was on my list as well. The Netziv in Merome Sada in Horios suggests a different solution to the Rambam problem. He discusses the question in general about the relationship between a Nasi and a Melech. And he suggests that like the Melech, you know, is like the supreme figure. You know, there's no one above a Melech, except, of course, the ultimate Melech, right? The Melech Malkei Amlachim. But a Nasi can be an interim status, or a Nasi over a group. So, HaMelech Ha'adam V'Ladon Nosov, Mishal Leisa Lomeid L'Meidin, and so on. Okay, apart. So then he says, Ibra Yesh L'Habin Amai Be'emes L'Masek Rabbi Kiva Ha'ikar Shamelech Lomeid. Near Rabbi Kiva Lo Ka'amar De Lo Mishkachas Chiyuv B'Nasi Klal, the Vaday Eino Chen. Shrei Nasi may be Seir, Eino Melech Dafka, the Din. This is, of course, a very fascinating question. It goes to something that we talked about, and that is, right, you know, Kahuna Gedola and Malchus, as we've noted, you know, may have more than one component. I talked about, you know, Reb Chaim's view about, you know, the difference between Minui and Kedusha, what depends on what in the, you know, process of appointment and the process of, you know, relieving him of his duties. What about a Kohen, you know, Mashuach? But also, what about a Nasi, who's not exactly a Melech? So which dinim depend on what? Right? The special korbanos, let's say, that a Kohen Gadol and a Melech or a Nasi have, right? Does that depend on their Minui, on their Kedusha? Does it depend, let's say there can be more than one kind of a Melech and a quasi-Melech, Nasi V'Shevet, for example. So what the Netziv is saying is, right, Shari Nasi may be Seir, Eino Melech Dafka, right, Elamisha Ein Mishahu Al Gabav B'Mokom Shehu. Right, that's clear in the Sugi and Horios. Horios is a fascinating Masechta. Yid Aleph Amid Beis. Right, Kegon Ani Ma'u B'Sayer. Right, even though the guy wasn't a Melech, he was a Nasi. V'chein Kasav HaRambam, that's the Rambam's view also. V'lo Nismait Nachshon Ben Aminadav Elamishum Shehu Moshe Rabbeinu Al Gabav. Right, v'hine Nasi Kazeh V'adai Dan B'Dani Noso. Ach Edus So Kedai T'Sheinu Meid. Let's say you have a Nasi, right, who's not the Melech. And he'll bring a sire, meaning the Tinhokas Korbanos, right? But is he Mufka from Edus, in the same way that a Melech is? Right? Shari Shaykh Vihisalamta, Sheno Lefichvoda, Mikomakom Enochain, right? The maid Lenasi Chavero, or Lemelech, like the Kohen Gadol, right? Kedisa Kiyotzeb Zelin and Kohen Gadol, he says, right? Shemei Lemelech. Miata Nicha de la Hakidiek, Rabbi Akiva, Hamelech Lo Dun. Why didn't he say Hamelech Lo Meid? Right? Because then, so hey, it's an interesting diuk by the Netziv in the language of Rabbi Akiva. But then the punchline is, right, of a fairish pasak b'chos shavuos, shemelach ainu b'shmias kol. El kamosha kasabnu denasi shevesayir. Now, the Netziv meant this as a practical Hechatim Tzi answer. Okay, but I would just like to point out, I mean, the Rambam used the expression Melech in both places, but I would say is that that works in very well. It could be a variation on what I was suggesting. Because, again, the Horios context, the Shkagos context, is about the special Korbanos of a Melech. So what we're saying is, from that point of view, right, he's not Mufka from Shavuos Eidos. Right. I guess that it didn't necessarily mean it this way, but in other words, instead of saying the nafkamina that I suggested before, which I'm not sure of, or I think likely is just practically not true in the Rambam, namely Shavuos Bitui, I might say, oh, this is the nafkamina. In other words, the Rambam is telling us in Hilchos Shkagos that from the perspective of Horios and Shkagos, right, Melech is not Mufka Mishvos Eidos. The Nafkamina will be, you know, when you have a Nasi who isn't a Melech, right, who has the special dinim of Karban, but, you know, doesn't have this status of being, you know, never Mechuyev Lahai. Okay, anyways, that's it. And it also highlights, I say, this idea that there can be levels or different dimensions. Now back to Dun Mina very quickly. So we were, you know, we put Joey on the hotline. Joey's standing up, and it looks like he wants to continue. Either that or his back is hurting him. Or he's excited. Okay, well, all three. Except not the back, I hope. So Dun Mina Mina, Dun Mina Buka Biatra. Basically, what we were trying to show was that, you know, that seems to be, if you look at the Gemara alone, you would think that there's this objective question, all over Shas, that's what it seems like. It's a drasha question. It's a, you know, parshanut question. Dumino mino, dumino biuka biatra. And then we would expect that whatever you say, whatever, however you paskin, that you should be consistent about it. And yet, this isn't such a davar pashut, as we noted. That's the ha'aros of the Lecha Mishnah, Nichas Maisa Karbanos, points out that the Rambam seems to be soser himself. The Tosas Yom Tov in Menachos, in the last parak, I'll read you what he says in a second, seems to point out that the Rambam, that we're not consistent in even the Mishnah, how we paskin. The Chavis Yar in a Tshuva, as I saw that somebody mentioned, just broke it down. He said, if you look at the Pesachim of the Rambam, we don't need him to do it, we can do it ourselves. If there are six issues of Dumino, Mino, Dumino, Vyuka Biatra, so the Rambam is 3 and 3. So, like, how could that be? Moreover, that was problem number one, like a group of problems. Problem number two was the Yerushalmi / Rashash, and that is, why does our mayor stop here? Why does he only talk about Bifnei Bezdin? Let him talk about Roy Lahoid. You shouldn't need Roy Lahoid for Mipiatzmo, because Dun Mina, Umina. And then the Rashash gives an answer. He says, oh, well, it's like the Ran who said that even Rabbi Meir will agree that, you know, if you're kofer chutz lebezdin, the achakachot lebezdin, that you're potter, huh? Well, what's that? Ma'inyan haran, you know, etzel, you know, kushas harashash. That's not too long. Right? So what is that? But then we know that that isn't just a rashash. That's a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi that's also quoted by the Rashba. Yerushalmi, in which, according to some notes of Kalim, the Yerushalmi says no, wrong. So either the Yerushalmi says no, wrong, we want to know why no, wrong, or maybe it considers it really. That's amazing. That's just actually shocking, because we don't have that anywhere. Not, why isn't that in the Mishnah? I mean, it's because who I did. So why is it wrong, if it's wrong? That's question number two. And then question number three was just, I was pointing out, A, that the Rav is really into this rejection of the Rambam regarding Shvua Bebezin or Kotz Lebezin, the distinction between Piatz and Piacherin. And I was just pointing out, he has two different asagos, one in Perek Tes, one in Perek Yud. The one in Perek Tes is a little shocking because it seems hyperbolic, it seems over the top. Right? He's accusing Rambam of something which is obviously, you know, not, he's obviously not guilty of. Right? He's not guilty really of Paskin like Rav Meir. We ought to argue with him about the Shvua being Bebezin or Chutz Lebezin. So it sounds like what he really means, or what he's struggling to say, is, you know, if you're going to make that distinction, you might as well paskin like Rav Meir. Or implicitly, you're paskining like Rav Meir. You know, he knows that he's not. I mean, it's clear in the Rambam that he's not. That's one. And then the one in Perek Yud, number one, he repeats it again, like he's really bothered. And then he, like, writes over the Gemara about Dun Mino Mino, Dun Mino Vyuka Biatra. You know, the Ravid, who was, you know, being paid by the word, you know, in these, you know, succinct book reviews, you know, that he, for the Rambam. Like, when do we find that he spills so much ink, you know, just to write over the Shakla Vitari of the Gemara, especially in a fashion that seems irrelevant to the point that he's disagreeing about. Right. So what I was trying to say about all three in one fell swoop is that Dun Mino Mino, Dun Mino, Yuka Biatra isn't just a parshanut or a epistemological kind of a question, namely, what happens when A comes from, you learn A from B, you know, how much of an immigrant is it, and how much of an emigre, I guess, is it? It's how much melting pot absorption, and how much, you know, retention of the original identity. And, like, you know, that we're totally neutral on that matter, you know, we live with the consequences, but that's like an objective two possibilities, and we should, you know, be embracing one or the other. So what I was suggesting was, that of course there is a machlokas, And it seems like the Machlokas is related to other Machlokas in, of the same name. But in all cases, you would also want to ask, you know, to what extent, definitionally, conceptually, halachically, right, the context in which it's being absorbed, right, is something that cannot be ignored. And by the same token, to what extent, you know, the source from whence it comes cannot be ignored. And if the answer to either of those questions is a very, very compelling one, meaning sometimes you just can't ignore the context, and sometimes meaning the immigration, you know, part is just overwhelmingly compelling, and in other cases it's the, you know, emigre status, it's the source, the retention, which is just so compelling, so then you're going to have exceptions. And I think it's exactly what we have here. So that the machlokas is where you can assume, I guess, that there is some latitude, some flexibility, you know, that doesn't touch on the core of the definition. But where we conclude that there are core definitional reasons to be considering either mina or be'atra, right, that's going to change the equation. So if that is true, that explains the fact that the Rambam paskins 3 and 3. I'll just show you the language of the Tosfot in just a second, where the people are Tosfot, because, you know, that you could argue the case each time, but you might, for other reasons, think that a particular factor that one day of the Gemara may think is more flexible, maybe turns out to be not so flexible. In other words, zuminobino, duminobio kabiatra, as applied in different cases, are going to be a little bit different. And by the same token, that will explain what the Rashash is explaining, or why the Rishalmi is rejecting it, if they are. What they're saying in the end of the day is, listen, the factor of bifnei bezdin shelo bifnei bezdin is more flexible than the factor of a kosher or a posel. And again, we only need the Ramban to highlight that, right, with regards to Chiyuv Shavuos Bitui. Because the Ramban is basically saying, Chalos Shavuos Eibus without a befal Chiyuv, you can have Shelo Bifnei Bezdin. But you can't have that when you have an apostle. So that's essentially, you know, the answer for the Rishalmi or for the Rashash, right? The Meir and the Chachamim can argue about Bifnei Bezdin, but, you know, it's hard for them to argue about no shame in. Okay. So similarly, maybe that's what the Rashash had in mind, right? The Rashash illustrates this in a slightly different way. And it's interesting because the way that he illustrates it is not accepted by everybody. I alluded to this the other day. Who doesn't accept it? How does he illustrate it again, Avrami? By saying what? We hold like the it's the Ha'ara, the Ran, that even Rabbi Meir holds that what? That if you're kofer bebezin 5 times, right? So according to Rabbi Meir, what? You don't need to be bifnei bezin. So if you never come to bezin and you're kofer, your nishba v'kofer b'shuaso, not 5 times, or 3 times, or 100 times, right? So what's the halacha? You're chayiv. Well, how many times you're chayiv? We'll leave that for the moment. But you're chayiv, correct? What? No, I am not up to there yet. I'm trying to be very precise. I said if you were kofer, chutzal bezin, 5 times, you would be chayiv. Now the question is, if you're bala bezin and you're moda bezin, right, so you're already chayiv, and you don't need to be in bezin. So what's the halacha? So the Ran says that you are potter, even according to Rabbi Meir. And the reason you're potter, even according to Rabbi Meir, is because in the end of the day, it turns out, igloi milsa l'mafreya, that the kfira was, right, not a kfiras mamon. What was the language again of the Rashash?
It's bar bar
what? Kfiras bar mi'alma. Who disagrees? Avrami? The Rimigash. Who said that? You just said Rimigash? Correct. The Rimigash disagrees. The Rimigash says that according to Rabbi Meir, or if you're Moda Bebezdin, who cares? Right? Why? Because he, according to Rabbi Meir, you don't need to be in Bezdin, so what you do in Bezdin is irrelevant. Can we understand that? Sure. It's a very important argument, though. Right? you know, ad heichan does Rabbi Meir argument extend? Now, I'm not saying that according to the Rimigash, you know, the suggestion in the Yerushalmi is correct. I would answer it a different way, the way I just did, which is, you know, again, but what is the Rashash trying to say with the Ran? What he's trying to say with the Ran is that even according to Rabbi Meir, who holds Dun Mina Umina, which means that the Shuas HaPikadon is the Mechayiv, right, and Chutz LeBezdin, therefore, is a sufficient basis for Chiyuv, right? But you still can't ignore the context completely. You still need, right, a Kfiras Mamon. And Hoda, in the end, right, Iglai Milsalam Afreyan, negates all the Chiyuv Mamons. Right? So, what he's trying to say is, you know, great, you know, we retain much of the identity of this, according to Rabbi Meir, of this emigre, of this, you know, person who came from another place, who retains his identity. Right? But there has to be some context, some absorption. Again, I just would have said it a little differently. Namely, Shvuas Eidus is a Shvua, you know, which is the end of the day applies to Eidim. Right? So, you can't talk about Krovim Upsulim. Okay. Again, what I'm saying is, that's even more basic to me. The Rimigash might argue against the Ran on that other point. I don't think he would embrace the Yerushalmi. So just to add to this point, just very quickly, so this is the Tosfos Yontif that I was talking about. It's in Mishnah and Menachos, Yud Gimel. Okay, I guess this is the week of the Tosfos Yontif here. Ani tamia deresh perek dal deshvuos pliga ramev rabbanon rabbanon dam minav uke biatra vasuge kiyacha damru kamedra papa v'koske dasam alacha kirabbanon v'hacha rambam v'rav dein alacha kirevi v'parech le'iyun. Then he quotes another one, perek beis Mishnah. I'm sorry, Mishnah Beis, Perek Zayin of Mizvachim. Similar problem. What's the case here? The guy says, Harei Alai Yayin. So the din is, Lo Yifchos Mi Gimelugin. Okay, that's accepted. Gimelugin is the minimum of Yayin. Right, for Mincha. Shemen, Lo Yifchos Mi Lug. Right, and Rebbe Omer, Shlosha Lugin. So the question is, dun mina o mina, right? Do we compare it to yayin? That's, I'm sorry, dun mina v'yuka biatra, or dun mina o mina in shemen, there's a log. That's the question. So in the Tiferes Yisrael, on the spot, he just says the following. After kaimelon shvuas reish pragdal dun mina v'yuka biatra, right? Zeu dafka. Heched Nilma, so there are two answers that he gives here I think are fascinating. One is, Zeu Dafka Heched Nilma Bigzer Shava. The Havalek Ilu Nichta Beferush Bahalimud. The Lahachi Kaimelon Ukibiatra. Aval Hecha, the Halimud Ubehekesh or Baribui, Kaimelon Dun Mina Umina. So one is that it depends on the Limud, not the fact that there is, you know, a source and a destination. Per se, that's not the only factor. How do you get from the source to the destination? Why should that be a factor? And why is being mefurash? Meaning, to what extent, what he's claiming is that when you have a gzeirah shava, it's ki'ilu mefurash. Meaning, it's ki'ilu mefurash in the destination, in the new context. So again, you have to, you know, connect the dots, you know, to the. Soar between the source and the destination, but this is a din in the destination, so the context, you know, is stronger. So then you're going to say dun mina v'uki biatra. But if you have only a hekesh or a ribui, right? So maybe what we're saying is it's an emigre, right? Not an immigrant. Meaning it's true, it applies here, but it still comes from there. It's not here. Now again. Is it true that Gzeirah Shava, more than a Hekesh or a Ribui, does that? That's a separate question. You know, it reminds us of our Divrei Sofer discussions you know, over the years. Right? Some people think that, you know, different limudim work in different ways. You know, it's a limud ke'ilu beforash bakra, you know, which limudim? Okay. Very fascinating. That's why if you look on the side here, they say, no, there are people who think that Hekesh is stronger than Gezeres Shava. That part of it doesn't interest me. I think it's fascinating, but it's not for us at the moment. Then he says, V'tamani, Hare Plukta, Heiminayu Adif. I don't think Heiminayu Adif even matters here. Because it's not which is stronger, it's the way the limudim work. Is it, in, you know, is it still connected to its source? Or does it really turn out that it's right here in its destination? But then he says, L'fi ani yizdaiti, hachalo mechshav kolkach ba'atra ba'alimud, darei gimel lugin lo ksivi benidva shemen, rak degam b'ho yalfinan minischei yayin, bar yesh l'chalik b'neim harbe, di yayin kula misnaseich, aval shemen rak kom tzo maktir, v'dum nishumachi tesagi b'pokas megimel lugin. Oh, so what's this? What he's saying is, listen, there are all sorts of emigres and immigrants, you know. Some of them are absorbable, and others, melting potable, and others are not, meaning you just can't shake their previous identity, or they can't integrate fully into their new environment. He's saying this is about Shemen and Yayin. In the end of the day, even once we have the Limud, there are still differences in how we apply these dinim to Yayin and to Shemen. So if we're acknowledging that Shemen retains its difference, even though it's learned from Yayin, but it isn't fully, you know, it retains its separate identity from Yayin, or maybe even, you know, part of its identity in the previous context, so then we're going to be more likely to say dun mina umina. Okay. So again, and then others, the linear of the Khan, this is the Mariach, limir Khan who savri abana dun mina umina mishum deshem and bifnei atzma leyadanu klaldino rak yafina mikorban mincha. Again, the details don't matter to me so much at the moment. I'm just trying to show that that the yisod, which is to what extent source attributes or source characteristics and destination attributes or characteristics are, to what extent these are core parts of the definition, matter. To what extent something is fully absorbable into its new environment matters. To what extent, you know, it, even after the limud, right, continues to retain and to be identified with its own origins matters. So there's still a machlok as domino amino domino vyukaviatra, but you're always going to have some limits in each, and you could end up even paskening in different cases, differently, depending on what you think about the nature of the halachos in question. Okay, good. Okay. One other, let's continue in the Gemara. Jakey, you want to do the, one second. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, let's continue with the Tosis for a second. We read that part of the Gemara, right? There's an interesting little Tosis here, just to make a quick ha'ara on. May I he in? Oh, so what do you think? What do you think about that? The Lake of the Maimar, just let's finish off. The Lake of the Maimar. Okay. What do you think about that, Jake? Would you say interesting? I was just going to say that. What's interesting about it? 100%. You nailed it with one word. Like, why be verbose? Just do it with one word. Interesting. First of all, because we did spend quite a bit of time, right, discussing the possibility of what? Jakey? What's interesting about it? Yeah, discussing the possibility of mipiacherim applying to bitui. Correct? Or the notion of, no, can mipiacherim apply to bitui? Right? We talked about, the Yerushalmi, which might, according to some readings, actually hold that way. The Rambam, according to some explanations, might actually have a case like that. Correct? We even thought of maybe the possibility, right? That maybe, right, Yossi? That maybe for the Rimigash, maybe that's really true, based on the Rimigash on Chafei Amud Beis, that maybe the only real Shuas Ha'edus Dinim are B'mezid, right? Maybe it's really even true. So we've been considering this, right? Moreover, we've encountered, essentially, different Makoros, even if we don't hold this way, that kind of weigh the significance of Mipiacherim within Shavuos Ha'edus in different ways. Some of them seem to kind of downplay it or maybe even trivialize it, while others, perceive it as kind of a litmus test about the character, the singular character of Shavuos Ha'edus. Correct? So, for example, we had Tosis on Chaf Hei Amud Beis, which said, why is the Gemara working so hard to find nafkamina between Shavuos Bitui and Shavuos Ha'edus? Why don't they just say Mipiacherim? Right? And we had the line in the Ramban Mukhamos when he wanted to attack the Balamar, right? That said, you think you could get away with giving me any nafkamina at all? So why don't you just even mention, Mujba Kanishba, Mipiacherim? And he's like yawning as he said it. And we contrasted that with the Rajba in Bava Kama, right, who basically said that implicit in Shavuos Ha'edus Mipiacherim, right, is a chi of agata. Because Shavuos Ha'edus Mipiacherim is really lacking the status of a shvua, of a hafla. And therefore, the only way, right, you could overcome that chisaron is if you, took the view that it was, compensated for or mitzuraf to him, based on the chiyuv shuas, the chiyuv haggadah. So basically, the Rajba was seeing the distinction or the din of mipiacherim not as a kind of a technicality. We happen to say mujba kanishba here, right? We noted that the language Mujba Kanishba, which the Ramban uses in Mukhamos, comes from the Yerushalmi. But it comes from the Yerushalmi that seems to want to apply it to Bitui. So there are basically two ways to explain Mipiacherim. Right? One is, it's not anything radically different. It's this Mujba Kanishba. And the other is, it is something radically different and something very singular to Shavuos Ha'edus. It's a chiddush that it would apply, to Pikadon. Correct? So this Tosis is just another expression of that, where Tosis is saying, why do you make a kal v'chomer shvus ha'pikadon, and maybe even apply it to bitui, by saying, nashim ar kanashim, rechokim ar kakrovim, right? And so therefore mujba should be kanishba. Right? But if I were the Rajba at Bava Kama, right, I would slam my hand on the table, right, in outrage, and say, hi anosenes. Meaning, the very reason why mujba is kanishba is because rechokim are not kekrovim. I'm sorry, krovim are not kerechokim, noshim are not kanoshim, and psuleidus are not keksherim. Meaning that mujba mipiacherim is all bound up with the din of chiyuv agada and the shemaid and the hefsid mamon and so on. You don't have that in Bitui. It's only if you look at, you know, the psulim of Shavuos Ha'edos and the extension of Shavuos Ha'edos as a hierarchy, you know, of Kalin Chamor, that you can even suggest what Tosa says. So once again, maybe Tosa hears Lashitaso on Kafeim Adais, where he didn't answer the question. I don't know. In other words, he didn't say, you know, Hanami, this is what, you know, is what the Gemara is really trying to do anyway. He also didn't give the answer of the Ramban. You know, this is more like a Ramban type Tosas, is what I'm trying to say. But if you take a Rajba Vavakama view, or any view that says that Shavuos Ha'edos Mipi Acherim, or Mipi Acherim in general, is a different kind of a Mechayiv, then the whole Kavachomer, this is not a good Kavachomer at all. It's Yanosenes in the opposite direction. Okay? Agreed? Jakey, you agree? Okay. So now let's continue. So what else do we have? So now we go back to the Mishnah for a minute. Jakey, go ahead. The Mishnah Lamed Amud Aleph, the bottom part of the Mishnah, the last part of the Mishnah. The Chayavin, right, Al Zdon, Ashua, Val Shigasa. Okay, so this is the din. What's this din, Jakey? So there are two chidushim here. Number one, it doesn't say vanalam, and therefore you're chayiv for mezid, and that's true also for shuas apikadon, correct? And secondly, that if it's too much shogeg, right? If it's too much shogeg, you're potter, correct? Too much shogeg, will just an easy way to say it, based on the Gemara, we can already anticipate, is too much shogeg is onus when it comes to shua. Two big chidushim. On the first chiddush, we've talked already, chafei amud beis, again, for the Rimigash, this line of the Mishnah, if you take seriously the Rimigash on chafei amud beis, it's like the yisod of all shvuos ha'edos. I just don't know how consistent he is, but either way, we've talked a lot, you know, about whether or not the din of Zadon Kishogeg, right, is a Kula Rechumra, right? And we tried to show Avi's Tosefta, right, that maybe it's both in some respects, right? Because it upgrades, in a way, what the Shkaga is, right? And even as it's you know, technically, what it reflects about the Shogeg and about the Mechayiv is a Chumra, even though what it causes in terms of mezid itself is a kula, right? It's better to bring a carbon than to get malchus. Everybody agrees with that. So that part is interesting. And what about this other part? This part that shigasa gredasa, if it's real shogeg, pure shogeg, you know, that is going to be treated like onus. That's not so pashut either, necessarily. Is it? We'll see in a moment. Okay. So, first let's look at the Gemara, then we'll look at the Rishonim. Let's do it as quickly as we can, because we want to then move on. Go ahead. So what does the Gemara say about all this? Chayav nal zdon ha'shvua. Okay, that we've done. Chafeim and beis. We'll just see another expression of it in a minute, but okay. Go ahead. Okay, what do you think about that? I mean, what is shkaga? What is the shkaga that we're talking about? The shkaga of shigas karban, right? Zodon lav and shigas karban. Okay. What's there to say about that? Is that such a double pasha? If you have shigas karban, the zodon lav, is that such a double pasha that that's a shkaga? Does everybody agree that that's a shkaga? What? I mean, the Gemara says that here. Correct. In Shas. Everybody agree with that? In Shabbos, Samach, Tes, Amud Aleph? In other places? What? In Samach, Tes, Amud Aleph? Yeah, go ahead. Well, also Samach, Tes, Amud Aleph, but okay, yeah. Correct. I wanted to see the Rashi and the Rajba there, but correct. Whose Shita is that, or what? Whose discussion is that? What? I mean, there is a daya that says that shigigas Zadon Lav and Shigas Korban is amazed. Right? This is the discussion, Munvaz and Chachamim, right? Not so Pashut. So some of the Rishonim have the discussion here. We'll get back to this. This Gemara is Aliba the Munvaz, right? Maybe we paskin that way. But if you cholek with Munvaz, then this wouldn't be a proper case. You need another case. Or is it possible, this of course would be more intriguing, is it possible that when it comes to either Shavuos HaEdus or maybe Shavuos generally, we should break it down. We're not going to pin this down today, but just to think about, and maybe we'll see more evidence as we go forward, but you know, it reminds us about discussions that we've already had, right? These are general dinim, the dinim that we're about to explore, including this first one, Kol Torah Kula dinim, dinim of Hafla and Shvua, right? Ha'adam b'Shvua, to use the language of the Gemara in Chavav and Aleph, right? Right? Or is it possible maybe even to distinguish within Shavuos themselves? Where would you distinguish? Let's say between a natural place for us to be thinking about is, Jakey? Bitui versus Eidos, and where is Pikadon in this mix? Right? Shavuos HaPikadon. Because Shavuos HaPikadon also has the status of not having Vinel Nelam Mimenu and Mezid as Keshogeg. Right? Is it also true about Shavuos HaPikadon that Shigasa Gredasa is like Anus? Is that explicit anywhere? What? Yeah, where does it say? Yeah, correct. So, Shavuos HaPikadon and Shavuos HaEdus, it's explicitly stated that there is a tour on us. Are there differences between Edus and Pikadon, even though the language is the same? That would be very interesting. Are there differences between Edus and Pikadon on the one hand and Bitui on the other? Okay? And are there differences between all of Shavua and Kol HaTorah Kula? So the first question to think about, which is discussed by some of the Rishonim earlier in Shavuos, in other words, on Chaf Vav Omid Beis, right, is this Munvaz and Chachamim Machlokes, right, the same Machlokes, and just we pass in this way? Or is it possible that even if in Kol HaTorah Kula or in other places you paskin that Zadon Lav and Shigas Karban is amazed, maybe when it comes to either Shavua or specifically, right, these Shavuos shine. That would be very important, right? Because it will tell us a little bit what is the Mechayiv. You know, or is this another, you know, casualty or nafkamina of there being possibly different mechayim? Again, Shavuos Bitui is a pure Shavua, right? And Shavuos HaEdus and Shavuos HaPikadon are hybrids, right? They're either equal hybrids or different hybrids in terms of the emphasis. That different emphasis could go the Reb Chaim way, Mipia Shavua, as I mentioned, that the Mammon or Gezel part is more pronounced in Pikadon than the Hepsid or the Edus part is in Edus, or the way I think it is in the Rambam, and that is that, and the Rajba I think is clearly, and that is that the Edus part has a stronger component of Choshem Mishpat than the Pikadon part. But either way, so the first question to think about and to look at the Rishonim in the third parak is whether or not Zodon, Lav, and Shigigas Korban, right, is a universal din, or more specific to Shavua generally, or to these Shavuos? That's question number one. Okay. And I'm not going to go into much more for the moment, but think about that, put it on the list. Okay, let's continue. So what is Rav Khan and Rav Asi? Yeah, so look, what does it say in Chavav Amud Aleph? What is, you can just tell me, what is, you can report. Yeah. So what we see from what we get from Rav Khan and Rav Asi is that what? that shvus bitui onus is part, and this is considered onus. Okay, onus is not a shogeg, correct? And that's the Gemara links that to the idea of ha'adam b'shvua. So here the Gemara is actually saying, well, that's a Mishnah. So what do we need, Rav Kana and Rav Asi? Ah, so our antennae are, you know, focused on this, right? Our antennae are raised, meaning, is it possible to distinguish between Shuas Bitui and Shuas Eidos regarding Rav Kana and Rav Asi, meaning Libcha Anaska, the idea that you said something objectively, we'll get to this in a minute also, objectively Sheker, right? But maybe that's not a shogeg, that's an onus, because you just processed it wrong, or you didn't, it wasn't intentional, right? So what's the Gemara say? Go ahead. Yeah, so this is a very interesting line in the Gemara now, right? Meaning, Jakey, the Gemara has a Havamin which it rejects, meaning we do apply the din apparently of Rav Kana v'Rav Asi, right? But the Gemara at least thought that we would differentiate between Ha'adam b'Shvua and Shvua's Bitui and in Shvua's Eidos, meaning that in Shvua's Eidos, and why? Because in Shvua's Eidos there's no v'Nelam, and Yochai b'Nezid k'b'Shogeg, so maybe the Gemara thought that also affects the nature of the shogeg, right? This is exactly what we were talking about back on Chafei Amud Beis, right? Namely, the fact that mezid is kashogeg is important for mezid only, in which case, as we say, it's only a kula, or the fact that mezid is kashogeg, right, also says something about the mechayiv or the nature of the shkaga here. You don't have to say that. And lamaskana, this maskana, you could say kamash malan, that it's totally wrong. You could say the shkaga here is a regular shkaga, and the mezid kashogeg is just a din in mezid. But that's not 100% clear. You could say that even lamaskana here, right, we're accepting the view that maybe the shkaga is impacted by the mezid. We just don't think that therefore there has to be this particular nafkamina. But there may be other nafkaminas, right? For example, the munbaz issue, or, as we'll discuss in a few minutes, but we can't get too into it, the question of Omer Mutter, right? Maybe there are other distinctions to be made between Shvuas Eidos, or Shvuas Eidos and Shvuas Abikadon, if they're a unit, on the one hand, and Shvuas Bitui. But here, what the Gemara was thinking was that what would be the direction of this distinction? It takes, in order to be considered anus, that's the hagdara of anus, would be, put it this way, shuas ha'edus and shuas ha'pikadon, let's leave it at shuas ha'edus. Shuas ha'edus would be more sensitive to the difference between anus and shogeg, right, than shuas bitui. Why? The indicator is that, oh, if mezid is chayiv, maybe you need a shogeg that's more like mezid too. And therefore, if you need a nastier shogeg, right, then onus isn't going to work. Okay. But to translate it in our terms, like that's fine. That's in terms structurally, you know, mezid is shogeg and so on. Fine, good. And here it would be a kula, just like the mezid is a kula. But what that may, it may be a kula which is novea from a chumra. Namely, if you wanted to translate it in Azrael? What? What do I mean that it might be a kula that's novea from a chumra? Ellie? What? Instead of saying mezid is kashogeg, we're saying that shogeg is kamezid, and why are we saying that? Why would it be a novea from a chumra? What would the chumra be based on? You might end up with a kula, namely that anus is not sufficiently a shogeg, and therefore you're part of the gamra. Okay, fine. But I say that might be a result of actually a certain characteristic of shuas eidos, which is more chamor. in the Mechayev, namely David. Exactly, that Shmuel Sa'edus, the Mechayev, is Hefzed Mamon. And maybe that's more of a, you know, of a cross, that's more of a, an act of Hezek. So maybe that requires, right, more of an intentional, or more of a role, right, in even on the Shogeg level. Right. So then what we're saying is, well, Onus, but when it comes to Shua's bitui, that's about emes and sheker. Objectively, you took a shvua, emes and sheker. Right? Objectively, is what you're saying, sheker or emes? Answer is, it's sheker. You know, libchanscha, so you should have been more careful. Or maybe would, maybe there's no ptur onus anyway in emes and sheker. Emes and sheker is only, you know, true and false. It's a very interesting Havamina. So I'm just saying, as a Havamina, it's important because it highlights that the Shkaga of each of Bitui versus Eidus might be different. Right? A. And B, now the question is, Lamask, no, that's A. Number two, that might not, that might result in a Kula, but it might be Novea from a Chumra. C, the question is, what's the Kamashmalan? The Kamashmalan is that there's no Nafkamina. But that doesn't mean that they're the same. So we should then be open. Okay, we already talked about. So we have three. We have two things already. Number one, munvas. Right? What's the status of zadon lav and shigas karban in kol Torah kula? Is there a difference in shavua? Is there a difference in shavuos edus? Okay, and whatever edus and pikadon. Right, we'll leave that for now, but that's also in the back of our minds. That's one. Number two, the Gemara thought that Rav Kahn and Rav Asi, which is a Chiddush, right? It's a Chiddush in the Gemara, and according to our Gemara, it's a Chiddush earlier in our Mishnah, right? So the Gemara thought that the idea of Libcha Anascha, namely, you betmimus Libcha, right? You made a mistake. So the Gemara thought that would be onus in Shuas Eidos, and it would be shogeg in Shuas Bitui. Kamashmalan, that's not true, but we just don't know what the Kamashmalan means. Okay. C. This din of Ha'adam B'Shvua, just to further highlight it, Ha'adam B'Shvua, allowing for onus to be treated differently than shogeg, is that true in Kol Torah Kula? Or is that only true in Shua? Let's say in Hilchos Shabbos. Right? Will we say that an onus is different than a shogeg? Do we?
And if you define, how do you define onus here? Meaning if it's omer mutter, then no.
We'll get to omer mutter in a minute. Okay.
I'm saying if it's just forgetting what, depending what type. If it's just a standard case.
Well, Shigas Shabbos and Shigas Malacha is definitely Chayiv.
Yeah. In that case, it's similar to...
And Helem Zev is Ebiyado. Let's say you don't know it's Shabbos and you don't know this about Malacha. Right? That's Chayiv at least Achas.
Yeah.
Just not Chayiv 49 times. Right? So who asked this question? The Rimigash. Excellent. The Rimigash, you have it?
Hecha de shagag shahaya Shabbos o im yesh Shabbos ba'olam ve'asam hamalachos harbe b'shabbosos harbe shogeg hu v'chayav v'haynu taima d'shanya d'shvua mishar isurin mishum d'shvua al dibor piv mischayav V'kevan sha'ala b'libo sha'osu davar kenhu, kemo sh'nishba alav, havalei anos u'pater, sh'lo hotzi mipiv, elamash nimsa b'libo.
I think that's a very interesting added line, by the way. Yeah, meaning implying that the oser in an iser dibur, especially the dibur of sheker, is piv libo einam shavin. And here, piv libo are shavin. Go ahead.
Ushari surin al maisa shenase hu mischayiv. V'kevan shal maisa shenase biyadayim hu mischayiv, lo ichpas lan b'libo kidei sheyehe anus.
So this is a very important yesod of the Rimigash, right? We'll see in a moment that the Ramban says something very similar about Omer Mutter, which we'll get to in a minute. Again, these are massive topics, and we're not able to, you know, do them properly, but I just want to at least, again, drive by and make the points about the relationship between Shavuos in general and the possibility of distinguishing between Shavuos. So in light of that, it's particularly fast. So what's the distinction of the Rimigash? A distinction between a Maisavera, which is more objective. In a Maisavera, we care that he did it, right? Now again, I think there are two ways to understand the Rimigash, or two different points of emphasis is really what I mean in the Rimigash. I don't know which one he meant fully, or whether he wasn't, you know, sure, or I don't really know. Right? There are two different points of emphasis. One is that this is a distinction between an Iser Maiser or a Maisa Veira, as opposed to an Iser Dibur. Right? Which is the idea being that a Maisa Veira is always defined objectively. Right? And an Iser Dibur, right, is more subjective. I mean, you're saying what you know to be true. Right? So the fact that objectively it's not true is less important. That's one way to say this. Mashalamad Avardome, I'll just give another example, not the same thing. Beni Yonah, the second parak of Brachos, talks about, you know, when do we say mitzvos trichas kavana, when not? Some people say this not about mitzvos trichas kavana, just about, you know, misasek, just knowing what you're doing. So sometimes they distinguish between, you know, a maisa, right, and a dibor. Right? Dvarim shel dibor require more kavana. Kavana, knowing what you're doing, or kavana latzei sidei mitzvah, right? That's how some people interpret the line of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which may have been nifsak by the Rambam. Probably was nifsak by the Rambam. Right, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah and Chavchas on the base that you know, hatokeh l'shir lo yatza, and then the Gemara brings other examples of mitzvos trichos kavana, and the Gemara says, like, we know that, or hainu hach. So the Gemara says, no, you might think that when it comes to shofar, right, it's you know, it's a din in, you know, yom trua, right, I'm sorry, zichron trua v'leka, but when it comes to, say, achilas matzah, kafo parsiyim, that, you know, Torah says, achol matzah v'ha'achal. Right. So, again, Rashi interprets differently. Amisasek b'chalav marayos shekein nana, that's Rashi's pshat. But others interpret exactly along these lines. Namely, there's a difference between something like shofar, which is more of a mental, there's no physical, you know, performance in the same way, or hearing at least, is more of an attitudinal thing, and as opposed to like an objective maisa vera or objective maisa mitzvah, right? That needs more kavan. The Rambam actually paskins mitzvah srichas kavan in some cases, not in other cases. By Megillah and by shofar, mitzvah srichas kavana. By matzah, mitzvah ain't srichas kavana. So the Ran in Rosh Hashanah and others say, oh, that wasn't just a havamin of the Gemara. It was. It was rejected in the Shakar Vatarya. But the Rambam really thought lahalacha, once he looked at all the evidence, that that's really the point, and that's really the pshat. So that might be what the Rimigash is saying, that whenever we're dealing with the Maisa Beira, we look objectively. We don't care about his, you know, kavana. Anything that's related to something like Dibor, more amorphous, right? So that depends on kavana, that's one way to say it, or maybe there's a different kind of way of, you know, objective truth doesn't matter, subjective truth matters. Right, whatever that means, meaning the way he perceives it matter. Or is Rimigash saying something more specific about Shtur? And that's what I meant about the line of Piv V'libo Shav. Dibor, number one, not anything other than an objective Maisa, but Dibor in particular, and maybe Dibor of Shvua even more particularly, that maybe the Mechayev is that ain't pivili bo shavit. And that's not true when a guy is anus. But either way, in light of the Rimigash and his distinction, the Havamina, right, of the Gemara, that maybe we could have said Shuas Eidos is sensitive to anus, right? And Shuas Bitui is more objectively treated like by Saveras, is very fascinating. Yeah.
Didn't we a couple months ago say that Shuas Eidos would be worse shoge because Yulamites are causing Hefsid Mamon?
Oh, so let me get to that. So Rashi, again, but you know, we didn't collude, right?
No.
Okay, just want that on the record. So how does Rashi interpret the... okay, so that's point number three, or four, I don't remember what we're up to. How does Rashi interpret the Gemara? Or how does Rashi interpret the Mishnah? That Shigasa Gredasa is not Chai B'chatas. Is not Chai B'korban Olaviyori. Alex?
Is the case where you didn't realize that you knew Eidos? That you...
The guy says, I don't know your Eidos. And the truth is that he forgot. That's how Rashi reads the Mishnah. Does Rashi say that? He doesn't? I think Tosis made it up. I thought he said it. I hope he says it. If not, the Rak says it. The Rambam says it. No? Isn't that what these words mean? Ein chayam l'shigasa im shogim heim l'gamri kisvurim shein yodim l'oedus. The Acher Kach Nizkaru.
Yeah, that's what they thought. Doesn't tell you what they said. Okay.
What
was that?
Huh?
Where does Rashi say that? They say we don't know any Eidos.
You want to have staring contest?
No, I'm saying where does Rashi even say that?
Will you agree that Tosis understood it that way?
Have they understood Rashi as holding that way?
Yeah. Pierce Bakuchus Bresh Pirkin Shashakwa Eidos Fim Tomar typically the Bakushta Kamishtabai. Yeah? Okay. What about Rabbeinu Chanan now? Is it more explicit? Wait, one second. What does Rabbeinu Chanan
tell
say?
Tell us what the Indians say, right?
I mean, otherwise it's not a question. One second. One second. Klomar, kivin shenel mamimenu ikar edus.
Everybody agrees that they forgot.
Aval bishyodeya... I think that's what Rabbeinu Chananel says, although it's maybe a little less clear. What about the Rambam in... One second. What about the Rambam in Aleph Yud Gimel? It doesn't really matter in the end. Certainly that's what Tosfos understood it. That's why the Ran understood it. What does the Rambam say in Aleph Yud Gimel? Ketzad shigat shvuas eidos, kegon shanela mimenu shechayavan alo karban, Yada Shishwa Zu Asura Vi Shekher, Uzdona Shiyada Shechayav and Lekarban. Abelim Lo Yada Shihi Asura, O Shakhu Haedos, Vin Nishbu, the Achakach Nodalahem, Shehin Yodim Lo Eidos. Sounds like that's the discrepancy. They didn't know it and they told a lie. They said what they said. The Shinishbu Shekhar, Renanusim Upturim Achin Lekarban. Put it this way. Balitosis and the Ramban, right, and the Ran, all the Rishonim understood Rashi this way, I think correctly. Right? So what does Tosis ask? It's Kushta Kamishtab, but that's not onus. That's honesty. Right? And the Ramban, this is also very interesting, I think. What does Ramban say? Ramban on the Mishnah. Tosis here is on the Gemara, right? Ramban says, and also, how does the Gemara equate to Rav Kana and Rav Asi? Rav Kana and Rav Asi is definitely not a case of Kushta Kamishtaba, where the words are true. Rav Kana said, the guy, you know, he said, the Rebbe said this pshat, right? And it turned out to be wrong. Maybe it was a subtle wrong, right? But either way, it was wrong. But when the guy, when they said, as Ramban and Tosis are reading Rashi, certainly, and I think justifiably, when they said, "Ein anu yodim l'cha edus," but we don't know, at that point they didn't know. Right? So, this is a very strong question. So what does the... on the Ramban point, what are we going to say about the Ramban point? In the Ramban's question, it's an interesting question. What does this have to do with Rav Kahana and Rav Asi? Right? Ellie, so quiet. I feel like maybe I said something and, you know, if I, like, you know, insulted you or... Yeah. What do you think? What are you going to say? Oh, okay, you know, let's go one at a time. Let's talk about Bekushta Kamishtaba first. So what do they answer to Bekushta Kamishtaba? Iran? Who understands Sheker? For Rashi? Is it really Sheker, though? So what is it? Do you have language? Why is it Sheker? The guy says, Eina nu yodim lecha edus, and right now they don't. Excellent. He doesn't need a Yediyah Chadasha. All he needs to do is think about it a little more. Try to reconstruct what took place. Or a little bit of concentration and focus will bring it back. How much? Anything other than... I mean, he has to go to yoga classes and see a psychiatrist. Anything as long as it doesn't need Yediyah Chadasha? Or when he says it, it's technically true, but, you know, if he thinks about it for 5 minutes... You know, he'll recover this memory. He's not trying. Does he know that he could recover it if it's true? I don't know. I'm just thinking aloud. What I really want to say is the following: the chiddush of the Ran, right? I think could be understood in one of two ways. One is, again, in a more objective way, meaning that in the hagdara of MS and Sheker. There's some interesting questions here, like just like people believe Boshavit, right? You know, maybe in Dibor, you know, we assess not. I mean, you know, in the Rimagash, I wasn't suggesting that a person tells the truth as he knows it. That makes it the truth. I just mean that's his truth, and maybe in Shvuas Sheker, his Shvuas Sheker depends on his lie and his truth. Right? That's a way I think to define, you know, the Rimagash. But anyways, that aside, as opposed to saying, oh, in Dibor. You know, there's anus, you know, for lies, but not in Maisa Beiros. What I'm saying now for the Ran, I think also there are two ways to explain it. I just don't know. Who has the language of the Ran? Anybody? Isaac? Gavin? Yeah. So, again, the question I asked before was, you know, that the practical posek can be, you know, for sure. Like, you know, what does he have to do to get it back? How easy, how difficult? But obviously what I really mean by that is that there are two ways to take the Ran. One is that the Ran is saying, listen, the Hagdara of Emes and Sheker here, just like we were saying for the Rimagash is a possibility, is a little bit different than you might think. Namely, if somebody says something that is technically true, you know, according to their state of consciousness, you know, but doesn't require very much, you know, for it to have been truer, he's definitely not speaking with integrity, put it that way, right? And maybe what he's saying is really not true, because he has within him, he has access to these memories. Does memory mean, or truth mean, that he's not lying? Or maybe he's, you know, he's not telling the truth, you know, even though maybe he's not lying, is what I'm trying to say. Or maybe that's a lie, too. There's one possible way to learn the Ran and so on, is to say that this is a redefinition of what constitutes emes and sheker, or at least emes and sheker for the purposes of a shul. What I'd like to suggest, alternatively, and this is where we go back to what you were talking about before, is that the idea that there might be different criteria, right, for, you know, what's shogeg, what's mezid, what's emes, what's sheker, you know, even between the different shavuos, you know, is something to consider in light of the tzad hachomer of Shavuos Eidos. Because before we had examples where, oh, Shavuos Eidos is more, it's mezid is shogeg, so the shogeg has to have a little mezid in it, meaning the mechayev here is that he's mafsid mamon. And if he's really onus, then he's not mafsid mamon. Right? But maybe another way to look at it, that's what you're asking, right, is that maybe that should really be a chumrah. Because in a way, right, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, he knows Eidos for this guy. He's let himself, you know, forget. And maybe he's like, you know, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, he's a machmir on being misarev riv rolo, lolo. He doesn't want to, you know, involve himself in other people's machlok. Or he's very humble and he doesn't like to show up in court. He's like, you know, he's like a male, you know, kol kavuda bas melech pnima man. So, you know, he doesn't want to, you know, doesn't want to be interviewed by the newspapers and doesn't want his picture on the front page. You know, whatever good reason. So he's kind of allowed himself, you know, he's allowed that those memories to lapse. So if we're talking about objective sheker and emes, right, then in Achanami, he's telling the truth. But if we're talking about the chiyuv of Haggadah, right, then he has no right to suppress those memories, or at least not even to try to access them and to rely on the technicality that he's formally telling the truth. Because the Mechayiv in Shavuos Eidos isn't necessarily Shavuos Sheker. It may be Hefsed Mamon al Yedei Shavua. Is this Hefsed Mamon al Yedei Shavua? Yeah. Al Yedei Shavua She'eino Emes, even if it's not Sheker. Maybe even Hefsed Mamon al Yedei Shavuos Emes. But it's still Hefsed Mamon because he has access to this memory, B'lid the Achadasha. Okay. What about the Ramban's question? I'm going to have to stop in a minute. What about the Ramban's question? Right, the comparison to Travasi. Right? If it's Kushta Kamishtaba, so that's not what happens in Shuas Bitui. So is it possible? What do you think, Natan? What might you say?
Maybe in Bitui also it could be when you're so convinced that you're telling the truth, that also is somewhat.
So if you take the view, one possibility is kind of like the Rimagash in a way. And that is in if you take this idea that you're really kind of telling the truth, piva libo shavin. So in a way, that's what Ravasi was saying too, right? That's what distinguishes ha'adam b'shvua from kol Torah kula according to the Rimigash to begin with, right? That's one. The other possibility is, again, the Gemara had a hava mina that, you know, maybe there's a difference even in applying hadam b'shvua between shvuas bitui and shvuas ha'edus. And with regard to the application of shigasa gredasa on some level, the Gemara, right, basically rejected that. But maybe there are, as we said before, even echoes regarding anus in both directions. Right, so maybe this is the chumrah. Maybe according to Rashi, you know, only Kushta Ka'amar is going to be Shigasa Gredasa. Not necessarily Libcha Anascha. It would be the other direction. Yeah?
If you take his approach, where is the ending? I mean, at some point, if I take a shua that just happened to be false, but I say it was true, or I thought it was true.
Right. I mean, that's what, isn't that Rav Kahana Ravasi?
Right, and but you could take it from them swearing between friends arguing about something to all halachic shvuot as a whole. that the entire court system now, it's really just what you think, and you could, even if you're not correct.
I mean, the pashtus of the Gemara is that shuas bitui, shkog of shuas bitui is shikas lav. I'm sorry, zodon lav and shikas karban. But if you really think, when you say, oh, I ate cholent, you know, last night, I ate it, right? And it's just, you dreamed that you ate cholent last night, but you didn't really. That's Rav Kahn and Rav Asi. You don't bring a carbon for that. Right?
So then how would we ever be mechayev somebody for taking a shuva falsely? Would it just have to be them saying, yeah, I really was lying? I mean, how would we ever know that?
Oh, how do you know? You mean, how do you... How do you implement it in Bezer?
I mean, the entire category of Shavuot.
I mean, why isn't that a question? I hear the question, but you know, if we're running like a police state, then we're, you know, we have thought patrols or something. But isn't that true for Rav Kahn or Rav Asi in general?
Right. Yeah, it is.
Right. But you have to believe
it.
Let's assume that.
You'll never be able to actually have a court.
I mean, you will. Just yeah, you require a little bit of honesty. I mean, if the guy says, "Libby,
right.
not, I really thought that." I mean, I guess maybe there's some level of credibility to it that's required. I'm not sure, but that's a question. That's a question.
True.
All I'm saying, either way, does Rashi think? What I'm really asking in the answer to the Ramban part of the question is, does Rashi think? If Rashi holds this way, right, let's assume that the Bali Tosas and the Ramban and the Ran read it correctly. Does Rashi think that the only Shigasa Gredasa that's Mutter, or the Rach, or the Rambam, if that's what they really hold, is the Kushta Kamri part, even though in Rav Kahn and Rav Asi, the Lubcha Noska is of wider scope? So then the Gemara flipped, right, from thinking that Rav Kahn and Rav Asi would apply only to Shuas Eidus, to thinking that that we have higher standards, you know, to be considered to qualify as onus requires a higher level in Shuas Eidos than it does elsewhere. No, what I'm asking is, why didn't Rashi say what the Bali Tosas said? Which is, by the way, what? What did the Bali Tosas say, David?
About
what is Shigasa Gredasa?
The second day was it.
The first day, yeah?
The first day was that, talked about
it's Sheker. No, we'll get to that in a second. It's Sheker, but it's Libcha Noska. That's like a typical Rav Kahn and Rav Asi. They said, Lo Ra'inu Eidos, or Me'olam Lo Yadanu Eidos. Right? So that is, they may have forgotten, right? But it is an objective lie. As opposed to the Rashi case, If Rashi is meduyak here, like what are two issues in Rashi, right? One is what the Rishonim asked was kushta kam mishtaba. So what do you need Rav Kahn and Rav Asi? He just told the truth, right? The other question is, so why didn't Rashi give the normal pshat, especially in light of the Ramban's question, which is the Gemara compares us to Rav Kahn and Rav Asi. So either we're going to say that Rav Kahn and Rav Asi is that kind of a thing also, and therefore it doesn't matter. It still doesn't explain why we didn't take a more universal case. Or as I said before, yeah, there's a principle of Libcha Nascha, and the shiur of Libcha Nascha, just like the Gemara thought that there would be a difference, you know, whether you say Libcha Nascha, but that's in one direction. Either Rishonim will think that the Haggadah of Libcha Nascha, Lahalacha, is different, but in the other direction. You need more of an anus? Right? Now, agav, there's also an important question. You know, give me one more minute just to, then I'll take a question. And that is, Tosas suggests their own pshat, and then Tosas doesn't like it because?
He says that if he was zocher, then he would be roi l'hayid.
If he's not zocher, he would be ein roi l'hayid. That's also a very it's just a fascinating comment by Tosas, right? Tosas says, but the only problem with my pshat is that if the guy says, you know, Eini, this is not better for Rashi, this is just, if the pshat is Lo Ra'isi, or Lo Ra'inu, or Lo Yadanu, right? So then, they should be putter for another reason. Because right now, Lo Yadanu, and therefore they're in a Meruyim L'Hayim. That's shocking, right? By the way, it reminds us, it's the flip opposite, again, it's the parallel opposite of the Nemukah Yosef in a way. right? What did the Mukhe Yosef say, as we discussed? That the problem of Ein Haroi L'Hayin is Kushta Ka'amra. Because when, you know, he says, Einenu Yodim L'Chaedus. So they're not Edim, so they're telling the truth. Here's Tosis coming along saying, you have these guys, they're Kosher Edim, they're the best Edim you could ever have. Okay, they've never violated a single law in their lives. They're as rachok as you can be, you know, to the Bali Dinim, right? They're as kosher and as rachok, and they're anashim, and you know, they're not Eved Knanis, and you know, maybe they are Nachrim according to Rashi, but they're not Nachrim according to anybody else, right? And they're not a Melech, right? So you have the best Edom in the universe. But they say, listen, we had a memory lapse. We don't remember. Or no, they don't say we don't remember. We say we don't know. No, we don't know. We never saw it. We never knew. We never saw it. We never knew. Right? So Tosa says, right, that they're Einam Ruyim L'Hayin. That's Einam Ruyim L'Hayin. Wow. Okay. Tosa's answer, David, is?
If they were Zofar, then they would be Ruyim L'Hayin.
Yeah. So is that a complete turnaround or not? Meaning this is an exact, this is Tosis interpreting, you know, Roy Lahoid in a Mahani, you know, right now they can't make a difference. Right? Right now they can't make a difference, so there ain't a Marui Lahoid. And it goes back on that list. Which reminds me, I should mention that Asher brought to my attention, and I think Tzvi as well, correct? Or you're quoting Tzvi. Correct? Am I right? How about the Rajva?
Yeah.
So the both of you brought to my attention that the language of the Rajva in Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, when he insists on Hefsed Mamon from Masachik Bekuvia, he doesn't just say because you need Hefsed Mamon. He too says because without Hefsed Mamon, right, there's a Chisaron and Vehu'ed. Right. Again, we've seen very subtle different emphases in Rishonim. So here's again, this is like I say, the parallel opposite of the Mukhe Yosef. You know, people who are Edim Psulim, it's not Sheker. If they say, Ein Anachnu Yodim L'Chaidus, that's one kind of case. And people who don't remember, who are Kosher Edim in every objective way, except they don't remember. So that's a Chisaron and Vehu Eid. Interesting. So what's Tosis' answer? The answer, you could read Tosa's answer. Go ahead, what's the language? So what is he saying? That he's not mufka from the parsha of Eidus and that's all you need? Or are you saying what, you know, that this isn't a question because he has a shemaid because he was there objectively. There was Ria. Well, what dictates shemaid? Maybe it's Ria, right? Or the, you know, the fact that he's Roy Lahoid if he remembers. Right? Interesting, a very interesting question. Either way. The other Rishonim were troubled by Tosis that had another suggestion, maybe why you wouldn't want to interpret like Tosis. Not this question of not being a shemaid, which is fascinating. Right? Does Eina Zocher mean you're not a shemaid? Let's say I have a person who's Eina Zocher, by the way, and he joins a Kad of Edom. Are you going to say, Batan Batasa Batla Kula? Clearly not, right? Whatever you say about Nogeya. Okay. What's the objection that some of the Ran and others have to the Pshad of the Ramban or Tosis on the Ramban? They have another interesting objection. Are you? Yeah, if they really say, so Bishlomo, if they say, so then you have to deal with Kushtekom Mishtaba, but at least you're dealing with a case of Shuas Eidos. But if they say, Lo Ra'inu, maybe that should be Shuas Bitui, right? You're not chai for Shuas Eidos, so why aren't you chai for Shuas Bitui? And that should be a case of Shuas. You should be, instead of the saying that you're Potor, we should say that you are Chayiv Mishum Shuas Bitui. So what do you think about that? It goes back to our question, right? Can you, if you hold like Rashi and the Ramban and so on, right? There might be. That's an interesting question. Is there a shame shuas edus because they're ruuyim lahayid? Right, and therefore there's no bitui. Even though the tochen of what they're responding, right, is bitui. That's an interesting argument. Belongs back on the Chafei Amud Beis issue. Okay. Either way, that's the Tosas and the Ramban. There could be two other reasons why Rashi doesn't like that pshat. I was suggesting a third. What is the final answer of Tosas, David?
Omer Mutter.
Omer Mutter. We'll stop in one more minute. So what do you think about the Omer Mutter? Not so simple. Why is it not so simple?
A general question of Shiga Shua.
Meaning, what's the status of Omer Mutter in Kol HaTorah Kula? Is Omer Mutter Ones? Shogeg? Or Karav Lemezid? Or Mezid? Very tricky question. Right? The second day in Tosas says Omer Mutter. That's also one of the Deos in the Rambam. Right? It's the suggestion of the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos. I think it's a day in the Rach. But it's not so simple. So here again, the Ramban asks the question, right on Lamed Aleph, that Omer Mutter, yeah, Avra?
I was just going to say, it's also important in the second answer, it doesn't seem that Tosos is rejecting the assumption of his earlier question, that really it's as if they're Sun Lahaye Kikrovim, or, you know, Kikrovim. He seems to be accepting
that,
and therefore we need to have another answer.
Yeah, might be. Oh, I see. So you're saying that wasn't just a havamina, perhaps. Maybe the second answer is really motivated by taking that seriously. So there are two interesting issues about that, right? Shame aid. Are you a shame aid, right, when you're not, you don't remember the edus, even though there's no psal? Correct. Legabe shuas edus. And secondly, what if there's upfront bitui in your Shavuah Sa'edus, is that bitui or edus? There are two issues. Yeah. Yeah.
Makes sense. We saw Tosas before by Melech.
Yeah.
By the Republic, he doesn't really care so much about the practicality. He just says if there's a theoretical ability
in Hefs and Mamon. To explain Rav Papa.
So within the Maskan, that would be.
Could be. It's definitely possible. Although the cases are still a little different enough that you could be mechalek. So the Ramban raises the question about Omer Mutter here, right? What's the Ramban's question? Eitan? Ramban says, how can anybody say Omer Mutter? Omer Mutter is a shogeg. Correct? So what's his answer? So Ramban here on the Mishnah. What is the answer and what does it remind us of?
Rimagash, Dibor.
The Rimagash. You have it there, Eitan? Yeah. The question and the answer, and then we'll just stop and we'll just pick up on this a little bit, and then I want to move very quickly. What do we say, 10:15 on Thursday? Yeah. Say again? Yeah, because this the idea of Omer Mutter is in the Yerushalmi. Correct. That's a very important question, right? In Kol HaTorah Kula, Omer Mutter is a shogeg. With one exception, maybe. Where is it not a shogeg? In where? Yeah, that's what you were saying? Omalka, you said Omakos. Yeah, Makos of Zayin of Beis. Right? With regard to shogeg, who's Gola, right? Misa b'shogeg. What's the din there?
Shogeg or Negla? Whatever. You're putting the galus and Omer Mutter is father.
Why? Because it's
Ones? Yeah.
Karv Lemezid. Right? So what's fascinating is that according to a group of Rishonim, there's a debate in Rishonim here and in Shabbos, whether Omer Mutter in the context of Shua, or we'll have to see, maybe this Shua is Ones, right? Or in Kol HaTorah Kula, typically, Omer Mutter is shogeg, like in Hilchos Shabbos, like if the guy thinks Omer Mutter, that, you know, it's Mutter to do this thing on Shabbos, right? That's Shigas Malacha, essentially, is a kind of Omer Mutter. So that is, we'll see, Tinek Shanishba and so on, but maybe there are different levels of Omer Mutter. That is considered typically shogeg, and in Hilchos, you know, Ari Miklat, Rotzeach B'shogeg, he's considered to be Karv L'mezid. Remember also, I said sometimes maybe he is Mezid. What do I mean by that? Anybody was here last year, or several years before that? Isaac?
Begin the Sota, the Marik.
Yeah, the Marik, right? Big Chiddush of the Marik, right, which is Mala Bo Mal. So if a woman is unfaithful because she says Omer Mutter, I thought the Torah allowed, you know, as long as, you know, either allowed it or allowed it with permission. So Marik says you're chayav for that. Why? Because it says Mal Bo Mal, not Mal Bashem Mal. That's a great example of meaning. What is Omer Mutter? Omer Mutter is an intellectual error, right? Not even mixed up A and B, right? I mean, the halachic error. I thought that there's no iser. That's onus, that's shogeg, or that's karav lemezid, or mezid. The answer is it very much depends on the category. Okay, so for here, we're going to stop now, but this is the debate here in the Rishonim, whether Omer Mutter, right, is considered to be shogeg or onus here. Right? The Ramban asks the question, who is Eitan? Yeah, the Ramban asks the question, I don't understand. Omer Mutter, how can we say this, or anybody else say it? Omer Mutter is shogeg. What's the answer? Yeah? The same direction, we weren't sure exactly what to emphasize in Ramban. The distinction between an Abeira, a Maisa Abeira, and an Abeira Shel Dibur. Right? So Omer Mutter is shogeg when there's an objective Maisa Beira. But where it's a question of Dibor, of a Mechayiv of Dibor, then Omer Mutter is going to be onus. That's the Chiddush of the Ramban. And other Rishonim think it's wrong. Rajba in Shabbos, right? Seems to be a debate both here and in Shabbos. And earlier in Chavav Medbeis, Ramban quotes the Rajbam there. So let's talk about this for a couple of minutes next time. And then I want to move on to the next Shakavataria. And especially I want to get to Eid Echad on Thursday. I want to already start talking about Eid Echad on Lamed Beis. And try to get to Lamed Gimel the Mishnah, so we can, because that's really a unit that's connected to things that we've done.